Real quickly before Rabbi Jeff Kip comes in and speaks. Man, I almost forgot that. That would have been fun. Did you know that Christianity is not an original religion? That there was something in existence before Christianity was on the scene? Anybody have any idea what that is? Wow, I have failed you. Judaism. Yes, some of you whispered, some of you had your hands up. Thank you. God's people go all the way back to, you might have heard of this couple, Adam and Eve, right? Adam, Eva. So, Christianity owes much to God's people. And sometimes we can get it in our minds that, we have replaced them. Romans 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. And when he says by no means, that is as strong a phrase as you can have. It's by no means in reality or in anybody's imagination. Could that possibly be? One of the reasons I really love Brother Jeff is his ministry. How many of you are familiar with Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Yeah, you've heard about it on the news. He serves in that community as a missionary to the Jewish community there, telling them about this Messiah that they have been waiting for. That actually came 2,000 years ago. And he reaches out through his ministry. Have you ever heard of Chosen People Ministries? Well, you have now. There is a handout in the bulletin. Looks just like this. And if you open that up, it actually has a brief bio of Brother Jeff, some explanation of what Chosen People Ministry does, and it actually has a little support card in there. I recommend that you take some time right now to fill that out. That you participate in this. Because this is as close to prosperity gospel as you're going to get in this church, all right? You ready? You ready? God says he will bless those who bless the descendants of Abraham. And he will curse those who curse the descendants of Abraham. So let's make sure that we're on the positive side of that. We want to be a part of that. We want to reach out. And Paul's heart was that he said, I wish that I were accursed that they might be saved. And that's exactly what Chosen People Ministry is doing, reaching the lost people of God. And I believe what we are seeing is God drawing his people close to himself through those ministries. So, as Brother Jeff comes, he's sharing something that is really important to us as Baptists and as Christians. Feasts. Have you ever known if Baptists get together without food? I was actually joking with somebody down in Nashville that coffee is as close to holy water as we get. And then the feasts that we have, the potlucks, it's always something. But we're always celebrating something. And Brother Jeff, in the Sunday school hour, if you missed it, man, that was a beautiful depiction of the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Booths and what Christ, how those point to Christ. But this morning, he's going to point us to the Day of Atonement. We just sang about the blood of Jesus. And on the Day of Atonement, that kind of plays a role, doesn't it, brother? So, brother, would you come as I pray over you and over the message and share for us the Day of Atonement? Father, as you have made an atonement for us through Christ, we celebrate. May we learn this morning. May we see it more clearly. May we celebrate it more joyously because of what you have done for us through him. Father, we are so grateful for what you are doing in Pittsburgh and throughout the world, where we are seeing your people, the chosen people, being brought close to you. We who are the spiritual descendants of Abraham rejoice to see his physical descendants coming to you as well. Lord, may we be just as burdened for them as you are, and may we rejoice just as much as you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, shalom. Maybe I'll move this right here so I can kind of be in the center here. All right. Good to be here. Wonderful, beautiful summer day. And I have been here before. Just to think about 3 years ago, you might detect my Brooklyn accent. And it comes out every now and then, especially when I have a cup of coffee that kind of comes out. And next month, I will be celebrating 48 years since I met my Messiah. 48 years. So I thank the Lord for that. Believe it or not, I once had lovely, long, flowing hair. That is before I had kids, praise God. And I was a long-haired Jewish hippie in New York City. I was that guy, you know. And, you know, people say, well, you know, Rabbi Jeff, Pastor Jeff, how did you find Yeshua? That's his Hebrew name, Yeshua. And I said, well, you know what? God was never lost, right? You know, he found me. I didn't find him. He found me. And I came to know him. And I've been walking with him. He delivered me from, oh, my goodness. I tell people that, you know, I never doubted that there was a hell. I just didn't know that there was a heaven. Amen? Because life was a living hell before I knew my Messiah. Well, let me just say a word about Chosen People Ministries a little bit more. It is the oldest Jewish mission in North America. It began in 1894. There was a Jewish rabbi by the name of Leopold Cohn who came over from Eastern Europe, from Hungary. He was hungry to know the Lord. He wanted to know, who is this mysterious Messiah figure in the Torah and in the prophets? Who is he? And some people told him, well, go to America and you'll find out. One day he was walking down the streets of Brownsville section of Brooklyn, and he heard the gospel being preached in Yiddish. Yiddish is a kind of an old tongue, a combination of Hebrew and German and Russian. And he went inside there, and there were over 100 Jewish people standing and worshiping the Lord, worshiping Yeshua. He came to know Yeshua, led the rest of his family to Yeshua, and started the Brownsville mission to the Jews. Later on, it became known as the American Board of Mission to the Jews. And then about 35, 40 years ago, they changed the name to Chosen People Ministries. We have a magazine we send out every month, and I do a little prayer letter, and I would love for you to get it. If you're interested, you can just fill out this little brochure, and it just tears right off. And you could just give it to me or put it on the table. There's a little book table in the back. And I'd love to have you pray for us and just remember us before the Lord. It's a tough work. We're out on the streets of Squirrel Hill every Tuesday afternoons. I'm beginning to go out on Thursday afternoons as well with some other Jewish believers. I have an interesting kind of technique. And my wife suggested it to me. I think she got it from Campus Crusade for Christ or Youth with a Mission or one of those groups. And we made a little sign, and we put it on a stand, and it says prayer station. And I asked people that are walking by, I said, can I pray for you? Would you like some prayer? And I find that oftentimes there are Jewish people and non-Jewish people will stop. Everybody needs prayer. Amen? Everybody has a need in their life. They're concerned about their family, their kids, their marriage, their jobs, you know, family members, they go through physical sickness. And so it is a disarming, kind of a non-threatening way to be able then just to pray for them and pray the love of Father God on them, the love of Jesus and the gospel, the word of God over them. And about 7 weeks ago, I led a CMU, a Carnegie Mellon grad student, to the Lord. We're sowing lots of seeds. Chosen People Ministries have over 25 missionaries in Israel, and we're all over the world, as far away as Australia, New Zealand, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, England, and France, South America. So it's a wonderful, wonderful mission. We have over 100 missionaries all over the world. I want to share this morning a little bit about the Day of Atonement. We call it Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year for the Jewish people. Before I do, I want to read a scripture from Hosea chapter 3. This is a wonderful scripture. It just came to my mind as we were in our worship service. Hosea chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. Listen to this, such a beautiful promise. The sons of Israel will remain many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or household idols. Afterwards, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. The Lord says in the last days, Jewish people will come to know the Messiah. And we are living in the, who could doubt that we're not living in the last days? Amen? Nobody's going to know the day or the hour, but we should know the times and the seasons we're living in. And we are living in the last days. And Jewish people like myself are coming to the Messiah. And we need to be engaged and involved in that, because what does that say? It's hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Jesus is coming back soon. Israel is back in the land after almost 2,000 years. Jerusalem is back in the hands of Jewish sovereignty and the Jewish people. Things are happening that the generations before us had never seen before. And the Lord said, when you see all these things happening, lift up your eyes and know that your redemption draweth nigh. Now, the Day of Atonement is an unusual day of the year. If you know your Bibles, you know, it's one of those appointed times of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 3, God says, these are my appointed times. And then he speaks about the Sabbath and about Passover. He speaks about what we call Pentecost, which was originally the Jewish Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Shavuot. He speaks of the Feast of Trumpets, which we spoke about in the Sunday school, the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day of the 7th month, and this year it'll be the year 5782, and then the Feast of Tabernacles is the last of the great feasts. Now, on this day, the high priest would go into what was called the Holy of Holies. Book of Hebrews speaks about this. In the temple, it had three sections. You had the outer court, which was also known as the court of the Gentiles, and then you go through that, and the place where they would have the sacrifices was a place called the Holy Place. And the priests were there preparing all the vessels and utensils and the sacrifices. And then there was something called the Holy of Holies, and there was a great thick curtain or veil, and that place was the only person in the whole universe that was allowed into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. Remember, the first high priest was Aaron, and then after Aaron, his sons who served as high priest. And he would go into that Holy of Holies only one day out of the year. Now, could you imagine having a job, a profession, where you rehearsed 364 days out of the year just for that one day? And that's what Aaron and then his sons did. And if anyone went into that Holy of Holies before that Day of Atonement, they would end up dead. And that happened to two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. You read about that in Numbers chapter 10. And so this was everything about the Day of Atonement was holy, holy, holy. Would you like to learn a little Hebrew? Everybody say kadosh. Kadosh. Kadosh means holy. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. I'm turning to Leviticus chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Leviticus chapter 16. Everything about this day was holy, was kadosh. And even the very garments of the high priest. Look at verse 2 in Leviticus chapter 16. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark of the covenant, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on holy linen tunic, and a linen undergarments shall be next to his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and attired with a linen turban on his head. These are holy garments. Even the very garments of Israel's high priest were holy. Everything about was holy inside and out, pure and complete and perfect in every way. Now, you know who our high priest is. Amen? He is Yeshua. Yeshua is holy. He is perfect. He is complete. He is pure. And he lives by the, everybody say, Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Holy Spirit. He lives by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inside you when you believe in Yeshua, when you believe in Jesus. And he makes us holy. We may not always feel holy. We may not always act holy. I don't. We may not always, you know, and I'm not talking about religious type of holy. Amen? You know, people have had weird ideas about, you know, what is holy? Holy is you never smile. You're baptized in prune juice, right? Lemon juice. You never smile. If you're a woman, you have to have your head made in some kind of a holy bun, right? Really tight. You can't, you know, some sects, I'm saying some S-E-C-T-S, sects and groups, believed you couldn't even have zippers. The Amish, you had to have buttons because somehow, and you can't have color. God forbid you have a colorful tie, right? You can only wear black and white. There's very strange ideas. Listen, dear ones, the only one who is holy is the Lord, and he's the only one who can make us holy. But let me tell you, there's a spirit living in every true born-again child of God, and that spirit is called, come on, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so here's some thoughts on Yom Kippur, the day of holy. This day of the year, there was no work. Nobody did any work whatsoever, and all the work of man ceased on the Day of Atonement. Now, against all the wisdom of this world, all of its practices, its beliefs, its philosophies, man cannot make atonement for himself or anybody else. We can't do it, no matter how much we try. You could do critical race theory. You could do, try to do it, you know, be political correctness or whatever. We cannot take away our own sin or the sin of anybody else. Amen? The sin of what happened 150 years ago with slavery. We can't do it. Only the Lord can take away sin. Amen? And so the Lord reminds us on this Day of Atonement that all of our self-effort and all of our self-determination is but filthy rags. Let me read this scripture to you in Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. And verse 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteousness is like a filthy garment or filthy rags. All of us wither like a leaf, and all our iniquities are like the wind, they take us away. Paul said in another place, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Even Mother Teresa, even Billy Graham, amen? All of us. My wife and I worked for Billy Graham many years ago and got to meet him. What a wonderful person he was. And a song reminded me of that. And Paul said, he said, God made him, the Messiah, Christ, he who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus, become sin that we might become the righteousness of God through him, in him. God is doing that work within us, and he's working out, and he calls us to work out what he's worked into us. Amen? To work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, or with reverence and great care. Amen? Well, in modern times, do you ever think about this? What we call holidays, back in the beginning, it wasn't about taking a vacation. It wasn't about not having to go to school or go to work. You know, holidays was originally holy day. Amen? Because it was all about the Lord. Put aside your work. Put aside your preoccupation, all your distractions, all your own stuff. And you worship the Lord. You set aside time for just to make sure your heart and your life is right with the Lord. It was a holy day unto the Lord. Amen? But what is now holy has now become a holiday. We need to put the holy back in the holly. Amen? It was about our vertical relationship with the Lord, but then it became horizontal, and it all became about I, me, my. It all became about self and about us and not about the Lord. Amen? We have lost all a sense of what was holy and is holy in both Israel, the Jewish people, and the church. We've lost an awe and a fear of God. We need to somehow once again come to know the awe and fear of the Lord. Amen? Scripture says that there's only one way to make atonement for the soul. In Leviticus chapter 17, God said to the children of Israel, and his word is eternal, he said, the life of the flesh, verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your soul. It is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. There is no other atonement except blood atonement. The Bible and God knows no other atonement except for blood atonement. And so we're going to look and see what took place on that Day of Atonement in the previous chapter where we just was, Leviticus chapter 16. And it says in verse 5, he shall take from the congregation, that is the high priest, of the sons of Israel, two male goats for a sin offering, one ram offering for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer the bull for a sin offering, which is for himself, that he might make atonement for himself and for his household. Aaron, who is the high priest of the people of Israel, I guess, you know, kind of like what the Pope is to the Catholics, right? He is like the highest guy, and perhaps like a bishop of a church. He had to have atonement for himself and for his family, for he too was a sinner. He was the high priest, but he also was a sinner, and he needed to have an atonement for him and for his family. And then he says in verse 7, he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast a lot for these two goats, and one lot for the Lord, and the other for the scapegoat. Now I want you to picture this with me. On the Day of Atonement, there would be these two goats. One goat was the Lord's goat. The other goat was called the scapegoat. That's where you get the word scapegoat. In the Hebrew, it's Azazel, and it means the goat of removal. The goat of removal. And reading on, Aaron, it says in verse 9, shall offer the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord, that is the Lord's goat, and make the Lord's goat a sin offering. Now, there's a reason why I'm reading this, and we're going to turn to Isaiah 53 in just a few moments. So you have the live goat, the Lord's goat. He prepared that Lord's goat would become a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for the scapegoat, the Azazel, fell, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and send it into the wilderness as an escape goat. Now I'm turning again to verse 20 of Leviticus 16. When he finishes making atonement for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. The Lord's goat is put to death. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, that is the scapegoat, and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel, all their transgressions in regard to all their sins, and he shall lay it on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities. Now, do you remember when Jesus finally revealed himself to all of Israel and the words of John the Baptist? He said what? He said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah. Dear ones, lambs and goats are part of the same family, amen? Oftentimes they're herded together, they eat in the same pasture together, are really part of the same family. You have a beautiful description of what took place when the Lord died on that cross, his death. He is the Lord's goat. The Lord's goat was put to death, his blood was shed, and then his blood was sprinkled on the scapegoat. And over the scapegoat was confessed all the iniquities and all the transgressions and all the sin and guilt of the people of the Lord. And then that goat was set free into the wilderness. And some said he was brought to a cliff and he was actually then, he escaped out into the wilderness. And you have a beautiful example of both what took place in the atonement. The Lord was put to death, his blood was shed, and all the sins of humanity, all the sins that you and I have ever sinned, all our transgressions and all of our iniquities were placed upon the head of that scapegoat, the goat of removal. Jesus is the goat of removal. He removes our sins from us. And the psalmist in Psalm 102 says, he separates our sins as far as east is from the west. Now, let me tell you, a reality that we probably all experience. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Amen? You know that, right? He's also the father of lies. All of us sin and have fallen short of the glory of God, but those of us that love the Lord and we realize that, oops, I blew it, I offended, I've sinned, I've sinned against the Lord, or I've sinned against someone else, and we ask, Lord, I'm sorry. My wife, I am sorry. Son, daughter, I am sorry. We repent, and you want to know what? God has then cleanses us from that sin, and it's never brought up again. But there is somebody who tries to bring it up. Amen? Who is that? That's the accuser of the brethren. And when you are reminded about a sin that you've already repented of and already asked forgiveness of, that's not the Lord reminding you. In fact, if the Lord would speak to you then, he'd say, what sin? I don't remember. It says even in Jeremiah chapter 31 about the new covenant, he says, there's sins and iniquities I will remember no more. You repent of your sins. The Lord doesn't remind you of your sins. You're cleansed. You are as if you have never sinned. You're just as if you never sinned. You're justified. Amen? So this is a little, really, we all do spiritual warfare, amen? And know the difference between the Holy Spirit, which brings conviction, and the spirit of the accuser, who brings condemnation and shame, amen? I'm so thankful that we can have relationship and not religion, amen? Religion is that which tries to make you always feel guilty, feel ashamed. You're not doing enough. You're not praying enough. You're not fasting enough. You're not, righteous enough. The Lord says, just walk close to me and everything will work out. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You walk close to me, you're going to want to have a healthy prayer life. You're going to want to read your Bible and have a healthy and strong an ongoing devotional life. You're going to want to be in church. You're going to want a fellowship. You're going to want to be mentored and discipled. You're going to want to grow spiritually. You're going to want to marry a godly man or a godly woman. Amen? Can I hear an amen? This morning we're talking about atonement. He made atonement for us, and he is the goat of removal, the one who taketh away our sins. And a beautiful description of this is what happened in the original Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is also about the Book of Life, and we spoke about that in the Sunday school. God has an accounting system. There must be a gazillion accounting angels. I never thought an accounting job would be kind of particularly interesting or, inspiring. But he must have an incredible network of angels. And there's an accounting system. And the Bible says that one day the books will be open. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel's given this amazing picture of the Ancient of Days. And then he reads before him in verse 10 of Daniel 7, the court sat and the books were open. There were books that were open. In Revelation chapter 20, it talks about a day when all those that don't know the Lord, whose names are not written in the book of life because they've denied the Lord, they've hardened their heart against the Lord. And I'm reading in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, whose presence earth and heaven fled away. There's no place found for them. I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne. The books were open. Well, that's interesting. What kind of books are they? Could they perhaps be the books of words, every word? Yeshua, Jesus said that one day you're going to give an account to every word that has been spoken. Now, if we know the Lord, thank God, those bad words are under the blood. Amen? But perhaps there's a book of time. I believe the Lord's going to ask us, what did you do with all the time that I gave you? I gave you all this time. What did you do? There's an accounting for all the time the Lord gave you. Perhaps there'll be a book of talents and gifts. And the Lord says, what did you do? He'll say to each soul, with all the gifts and all the wonderful talents that I gave to you, what did you do with them? Did you bury them in the sand? Did you bury them in the earth? Or did you put them to use? There's going to be books of deeds, of what we did with the works of our hands, what we did with our lives. But he goes on to say Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. That is the most important book in all of the universe. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which was in them. Death and Hades gave up the dead which was in them. They were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Death and hell was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That, dear ones, is the most important book of all. And for the Jewish people, they pray that somehow their charity, they're making amends with people, they're trying to be keep the Sabbath and keep all the due righteous works, hoping and praying that their names would be written in the book of life. But they never know. Because the only way that you could have your name written in the book of life was by realizing the one who came, the one who shed his blood so that he is the only one who can make atonement for our soul. The only one who writes our names in the book of life. Now I want to tell you, if your name is written in the book of life because you've accepted Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, you know, I want to tell you, you are one of the most blessed people in the world. Amen? You are blessed. Let's thank God this morning. Thank God that he came after you. He looked you up. He was looking for you. He came knocking at your door. He came looking for you. And whatever way that was, perhaps raised in a Christian home with mom and dad, or perhaps in school, you know, I was raised in a Jewish home. I believed in God, but I didn't know the Lord from the man in the moon, right? But God made sure that I met a Jewish man from New York City in a little town called Taos, New Mexico. Here I am, wandering around, wandering Jew, and I meet another Jew from New York City, and he leads me, he helps me to find that Jesus is my Messiah. And I've been walking with him ever since. And let me tell you that the Holy Spirit is the hound of heaven. And no matter how far you might try to wander away from the Lord, maybe get in with the wrong crowd, maybe there's peer pressure, the going to school, we're talking about that this morning, you know, it's tough. Man, the enemy will do everything he can to mess with your mind, you know, make you believe lies, and try to get you even to you know, give you 90% truth so it can make you swallow that 10% lie. Amen? You know, but no matter what, you belong to the Lord, and the Lord is not going to let you go. And he's going to hold on to you more than you hold on to him. Amen? Let me just tell you something. So also is God's love for Israel and for the Jewish people. So what I want to do is conclude and with sharing with you an event that's going to happen one day soon. It's going to happen in a neighborhood, in a theater, one day near all of us. Amen? In Zechariah chapter 12, the scripture talks about a day when all the nations will come against Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel. All the nations will come against it. Verse 2 of Zechariah chapter 12, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the people around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it'll also be against Judah. It's where you get the name Jew, from Judah. It'll come about in that day, I'll make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the people, and all who lift it will be severely injured. In other words, in the Hebrew, they will herniate themselves, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. And just when it seems like Israel will be annihilated, it'll be worse than the Holocaust. It'll look like all the nations, maybe even America, God forbid, but we don't know. when it looks like Israel will be completely annihilated. It says, in that day, verse 9, I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Sounds like what Pastor Aaron just quoted in the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. I will bless all those that bless thee. I will curse all those that curse thee. That covenant is still in force. God never broke the Abrahamic covenant. And he says, in that day I will seek to destroy all those that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will weep bitterly over him, like the weeping bitterly over a firstborn. And Israel will have a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look upon Yeshua, the one whom not only they have pierced, but all mankind has pierced. Amen? We have all pierced him. Our sins put him on the cross. Amen? And they will weep and go, oh, my Lord, it's him. It is Yeshua. It is Yeshua. He is the Messiah. And then in chapter 13, it says, in that day, that same day, a fountain will be opened up for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and impurity. Do you sing that song here, Emmanuel? There is a flow, you know, that flows from Emmanuel, from the veins of Emmanuel. A fountain will be opened up for sin and for impurity. Well, until that day, we're praying that many, just as it says in Hosea, will come trembling before the Lord and his goodness in the last days. We're not going to just wait till the rapture comes. God will wrap everything up at the rapture. Woo, I can't wait for that day. Amen? But I want to take as many people as I can with me. Amen? But until that day, I want to preach the gospel, share the gospel, be the gospel, as imperfect as I am. And dear ones, I pray that you also will not be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was a Greek world to everyone. Dear ones, everyone ought to know, amen, who Jesus is. And so let us just conclude with some prayer this morning. And I pray that you would not, that you would share your testimony. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody has something to share. And you could share it with your classmates and your schoolmates and the people on your job and family members. And just love on them. You say, how? Well, you know what? Mostly just love on them. But don't be ashamed to tell about Yeshua, about Jesus. Amen? And just love on him. Say, he loves you. You don't have to be a scholar or a theologian. You can share the Lord just where you are and reach people that pastors and preachers can't reach. Amen? And so let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for bringing atonement that you, Father God, giving the blood on the altar for an atonement for our souls. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua that's made atonement for our soul. And Lord God, and thank you that Jesus is our goat of removal. He's the scapegoat. It's a good scapegoat. Thank you for our divine scapegoat. You scapegoated us, Lord. And you made him to be who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we can have be the righteousness of God in you. So thank you, Lord, for Grace Baptist. Bless them in their mission. Bless them in all that they do. May they be a bright, shining, Father, lighthouse, a watchtower, Father. Father, into this community of Tyrone and Altoona, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's thank Rabbi Jeff Kipp. As part of our gratitude, we do want to take a love offering. So I would ask the ushers to come forward again with the plates. And you are under no compulsion to give. Checks can be made out to CPM. Is that correct?
Yes.
Chosen People Ministries, CPM. And if you are led to give, by all means, I know, as Brother Jeff shared, God has not rescinded that covenant with Abraham. And part of that is a blessing to his people. So can I pray over you, brother?
Absolutely.
And then
yes.
as we, after we end the offering, would you share with us the erotic blessing?
Yes, thank you.
Father God, we do thank you for the atonement. Thank you for being our scapegoat. Thank you for taking our sins on yourself. Thank you for what Brother Jeff is doing. Thank you for reaching out to your holy people, to your chosen people, to the ones you chose from before the foundation of the earth. Lord, we are looking forward to that ultimate day of atonement when we do appear before you. Lord, we pray that you would draw your people to yourself, and that we would see a revival, a revitalization of your people, drawing them to yourself, drawing them to truly see who their Messiah is in Jesus Christ. So Lord, take these offerings, use them for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Again, I'd love to send you our prayer letter, so if you're interested, just put your name and address down, and we'd love to send that to you and ask you to pray for us. Thank you. Amen. Here's the Aaronic benediction. I'll do it in the Hebrew first. Yivarech Echa Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ye'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you, fill you with his presence, and give you his peace, his shalom. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachinu, in the name of Jesus the Messiah.